God, open our minds and hearts and hands and form us to be vessels of your grace, to be agents of your healing power in this world, in our time. In the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. How have you been formed? What are the forces that have shaped and molded you into the person you are today? How have you been formed? And what are the forces that have shaped and molded you into the person you are today, sitting in the pews? I recently spent time with a colleague and friend who lost his parents at a really young age. A relative raised him as one of her own, and the person that I met several years ago, who I know and love, is a vibrant, light-filled human being who travels the country and the world, teaching and bringing the love of God alive through song, through story. People who meet him can't help but fall in love with him and to be drawn to the living word that he conveys and embodies so powerfully. How was he formed? What are the forces that have shaped and molded him into the person that he is today? How did his early heartbreaking loss, his own unique cross, if you will, that he has carried, as well as all the other events and people in his life, his relatives, his neighbors, his education, the people he's met on his worldwide travels, the places he's been, how have these all helped to shape and form him into the person he is today? And perhaps an equally important question, how will my friend continue to be shaped and formed in the second half of his life? Is he done changing? Is he more or less a completed work of art, like the paintings hung and displayed on the walls of the BMA? Or like the beautiful handcrafted glazed pieces of pottery sold at Wild Yam Pottery Studio in Hamden? Or will he continue to grow and to change, to be formed, to be transformed, like the sky was last night and the night before, minute by minute, second by second, in those gorgeous, gorgeous sunsets we've seen the last couple of nights in our city? Or like the clay in the hands of a master artisan? Today's reading from Hebrew scripture features the prophet Jeremiah, who was a teenager when he had a transformative, life-changing encounter with the living God. Jeremiah was 17 when God awakened him, reminded him, "Before I formed you in the womb, Jeremiah, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you to be a prophet to the nations." This at a time in Israel's history that was their equivalent of our own 9/11. We hear today God inviting Jeremiah to go down to the potter's house. You see, a visit to the local potter then was a familiar common occurrence in Jeremiah's day, like going to the market, or perhaps for some of us today, running out to Target. But what was not so common or expected was for a message from God to be imparted during this common occurrence and errand. I mean, how many of us hear a message when we're at Target? But Jeremiah was awakened and alerted to pay attention, to open his mind and his eyes and his ears for a message from the living God through the commonplace errand he was sent to do. And just as God promised, while Jeremiah was at his local potter, through the medium of the everyday and commonplace, he had a divine encounter, a message from the living God. As Jeremiah watches the potter working at the wheel, the clay piece that the potter is making is spoiled or marred in the potter's hands. In other words, it's messed up. So as Jeremiah continues to watch, the potter starts over again. "Can I not do with you, O house of Israel," says God, "just as this potter has done? Just like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel." Now, at this point, just a little bit of context. You see, the people of Israel in Jeremiah's time were not doing what God wanted them to do. They were worshiping other gods, building temples where they weren't supposed to, and God yearned for them to return home to him. And hence this call to Jeremiah to go out to the people and tell them to return, or else disaster would come. They would be crushed by armies and current events and foreign peoples. Now, I don't know about you, but this is not good news to me. That is not the kind of God that draws me into loving relationship openly and freely. Nor is it the kind of God that Jesus reveals to us. It's the same God, the same one God, and yet a different angle on this same one living God, the creator of the universe. Do you see, Jesus, when he is approached by his friends in the Gospel of John, who ask him, "You see that man born blind over there? What did that man do? What sin did he make, or what sins did his parents commit that he was born blind?" Do you remember Jesus' answer? "Neither. Neither the man nor his parents sinned." You see, the kind of God, the aspect of God that was fully revealed in Jesus is the kind of God where grace and mercy abounds. And as David preached last week, the feast is for all and not just a few. And so, Jesus reveals this kind of love, this aspect of God that a Christian poet and writer of our modern day says and reveals and talks about. "I did not know what love was until I encountered one love that kept opening up and opening and opening." That's Christian Wiman. And this is the God that is made known through Jesus. So, how are we to understand then this image of the potter given to us through the prophet Jeremiah? Does God mold us? If so, how? And is this image of God as a potter and an artisan, does it hold any water for us? And if we are changed and molded by God, how and for what purpose? A few things to consider. God does mold and shape us through life's events, and equally gives us the free will to respond to them as we choose. It's those outer pressures of things that happen beyond our control and how we respond to them that in the totality of that reveals the people that we grow into. Both the mountains and the valleys, the highs and the lows, the joys and the heart-rending events. Aaron Hagar, who is a parishioner who is with our children right now in our dining room, is telling the story of a woman named Helen Stevens. Helen Stevens, you see, found herself during World War I. The book that Aaron Hagar, who was a children's author, who writes about her, tells this story of Helen Stevens. The book is called Doing Her Bit, and it's the book that our children are hearing right now in the dining room. Erin was interviewed about this book, and this is what she had to say. Doing Her Bit, says Erin Hagar, is based on the true story of Helen Stevens, a New York City college girl who spent the summer of 1917 training and working as a member of the Woman's Land Army of America, colloquially known as the Farmerettes. These women provided crucial farm labor at a time when there were worldwide food shortages and many men were leaving farms to fight overseas or work in factories. Erin continues to say in this interview, and their children are hearing right now, that during her training, Helen learns to plow and plant, work with livestock, and tend to general farm upkeep, but she's frustrated that her capable team can't get hired. So whether a farmer will hire them and how they'll do when they're given the chance is the central question of Erin's book, and she gives a spoiler alert, they get the chance and they nail it. But this idea of this woman, Helen Stevens, who finds herself in situations beyond her control and goes and receives training, and how she responds to current needs in her time, how she has formed both the outward external pressures of the world and her inner response. God shapes us through life's events and our responses to them. God shapes us and forms us through inspiration, scripture, poetry, music, sense of the Spirit dwelling and speaking through these things that move us, those aha moments when our hearts are moved and we can recognize a deep truth through these venues. And I would say and offer to you that God shapes and forms us most profoundly through the gift of human relationship, especially the kinds of human relationship when individuals know that we're in it for the long haul. The kind of relationship that can exist between a teacher and a student, a coach and an athlete, a choir director and a musician, colleagues and friends. Jesus says, "I call you friends." And it's through the medium of friendship and our own hands and hearts molding and shaping one another. When something latent or asleep or dormant within us comes alive and begins to grow, even surprising us. I had a conversation with another friend and colleague of mine who I was asking for some parenting advice. And she told me how when her boys were young and they did something that was not so pleasing, she would put a clothespin on her nose and start walking around the kitchen. And her boys would ask her, "Well, Mom, why are you walking around with the clothespin on your nose?" And she'd say, "Well, Lovey, your behavior is just a little stinky today." Yes, a behavior and a way that she wanted to respond to them, but not in a crushing way, not in a way to crush their souls and destroy them, in a way that conveyed, "I love you, I'm here for you, and I know that you can be better." I shared in my Irredeemer reflection a couple of weeks ago that I am in a relationship with a wonderful friend who I call Thelma, and she calls me Louise. And it's because of our friendship that something that seemed so elusive to me, to get up bright and early in the morning and make it a habit of getting my physical exercise in, a habit that I've been fighting and struggling with to make a routine for over 20 years. I've tried and started and failed and started over again. Well, my friend and I had this conversation and said, "Well, she said, I've been trying to do this too." And we were vulnerable and open with each other, and we shared with each other our fits and starts. And because of that relationship and our holding each other accountable, we are halfway through our commitment for a 40-day trial period, thinking that 40 days might just make it a life habit in our second half of life. Stay tuned for how that goes, but I'll tell you, it's felt like a miracle since we've made this sacred covenant of friendship. So human relationship, human friendship, The kind of relationship that says, I'm in it for the long haul, is the kind of relationship that God yearns to have with us, because God's in it for the long haul. And what he yearns for us to express and manifest to one another. And this is the kind of friendship and relationship that is not just a possible and an invitation for individuals and human beings. It is also an invitation for communities and institutions, for races, for schools and churches, partners in our city. I'm moving into my new role as the Director of Community Engagement. And I really see my job is to lift up all of what we are currently doing, making it deeper and broader, building relationship between our Redeemer community and the communities around us, Govan's, Paul's Place, Habitat for Humanity, everything that is already going on to build human relationship, to transform our city into the city that it was created to be. One of the organizations that is a part of our journey together is THREAD. THREAD. It's an organization that many of you learned about through Sarah Heminger, who came to speak with us during our Lenten series. And Conversation THREAD, which happened in our sanctuary, brought together people all over Baltimore to be in deep conversation with one another about difficult issues, including race, including what's happening in our city. And Sarah shared one story about a young man named Imhotep Simba, who at the end of a gathering in our sanctuary came up to her and said, thank you so much for this time, and thank you for inviting me to dinner. And you know, dinner at your house, that was the second time in my life that I've been invited to dinner at a white person's house. Well, Sarah didn't know how to respond, and so she responded with a question that just came to her. Well, so when was the first time? And he said, Imhotep said, well, the first time I had dinner at a white person's house was our first THREAD event. Relationship. Relationship being about being open and vulnerable, transforming and changing, being able to say we're in it for the long haul so that we can be changed as you are changed. It seems to me that change will happen whether we want it to or not. The question is, are we open? Are we willing? How rigid are we? How moldable are we? And isn't the whole point of the Christian path about transformation to be molded and shaped into the image of the living God in Christ as individuals and as communities so that we can be agents of transformation and healing and wholeness in our world, in our time? Let us pray. God, our Creator, and God who loves us into being, thank you for the gift of life's events. Thank you for the people. Thank you for the places that help shape and form us into who you would have us be. Give us open hearts and give us hands to reach out in love to the other, that we may continue to build the kingdom of God here and now. Amen.